Universal, cultural, and individual values. Values can be universal, cultural, and individual. In the West, for instance, there are a lot of individual likes and dislikes. In fact, children are taught to develop them at a very young age. The mother asks, "What do you want to on your toast? Do you want honey or brown sugar?" From childhood on, you are asked, "What do you want? This or that?" In this way, you have been taught to exercise your faculty of choice. In India, it is not done. You are offered tea with the milk and sugar already in it. There is no choice in the matter. Whereas in the West, you are not only asked what you would like in it, but whether you would like tea, coffee, or something else. Our choices are based on personal likes and dislikes, which we are not concerned with here. We are concerned with the fact that there is a common structure, a universal structure, wherein no one wants to be robbed. For example, whether the person is a tribesman living in a remote desert or an urbanite living in a sophisticated society, it is the same. A person may be walking along in a street in Delhi, and a person may be walking in a forest, but both of them do not want to get hurt or robbed. No one say, "Because New York City is such a wonderful city, I want to get mugged there." No one wants to get mugged anywhere. Therefore, there is a structure that we all commonly sense, a structure which is already there. This universal structure that is already there is a moral structure. It comes up in the Gita itself later on, and I will talk about it more then. The word Dharma refers to this structure, this order, which includes the ecological order. This Dharma is known to me, to you, and everybody else. Money, power, name, and influence are not universal values. You may seek money as a form of security and be prepared to destroy your name for it. There will be also be another person who is ready to give up his or her money for the sake of power, name, or influence. Although name, influence, money, and power are generally sought after, they are not universal. Values are not absolute. Sympathy, love, and compassion, on the other hand, are universal values, which does not mean that they are absolute. Values are never absolute. They are always relative, even though they may be universal. The point is that you should not go against the universal values while pursuing individual or cultural values. For example, as long as your pursuit of money conforms to the universal values, you are living a life of Dharma. Whereas if your pursuit, whether for money, power, or pleasure, comes into conflict with the universal values, then there is Adharma. The Pandavas also sought money, power, and pleasure, but they tried to conform to Dharma at the same time. Duryodhana, on the other hand, represents a life of Adharma, wherein power becomes so important that its pursuit comes into conflict with the order Dharma. For such people, however, this is not a problem because they do not think of it in these terms. Therefore, for them, the means can be anything, as long as the end is achieved. To say, "For the sake of power, I can do anything," is not due to ignorance, really speaking. There is some ignorance involved, as we shall see later, but the ignorance is not of the universal values. Duryodhana definitely knew that he did not want to be cheated and that the Pandavas did not want to be cheated either. But power was so important to him that he did not mind cheating or destroying anyone, legitimately or illegitimately, who stood in his way. He simply did not think about the legitimacy or illegitimacy of what he was doing. My understanding of the laws, reflected in my choice of the means, is what is meant by inner maturity. When I choose a means which is not proper for the sake of money, I go against the order dharma for the sake of money, because I do not understand what I lose. I only know what I gain, money, which is very important to me. The difference between having the money and not having it is very clear to me. One person may tell a lie for the sake of $5,000, while another person may tell a lie for $100,000, or for any amount in between, but not for $5,000. There may also be those who would tell a lie for as little as a dollar. Everyone seems to have a price. The value of a value. We even try to bribe the Lord in order to get to heaven. We are always ready to compromise if we can get something that is valuable enough to us. If a man sees the difference between having $5,000 and not having it, he may even deceive a friend who has offered to give him 20% over and above the value of the house he bought and renovated. All he has to do is to jack the price up by the amount of money that is so important to him. This man knows that the money can take him to Hawaii. It will definitely give him a good vacation somewhere. Thus, to have this $5,000 will definitely make a difference in his life. Therefore, he is ready to compromise. Suppose you tell someone you should not tell a lie, and the person, being very pragmatic, questions you, "What do I lose if I tell a lie? What will you say?" Or if your child asks, "Dad, if I can get some money so that we can have some more things, why should I not tell a lie?" Generally, you will say that telling a lie is wrong, which is another way of saying, do not do it. The general message the child gains is that what is wrong is what I should not do. But this does not explain anything. Therefore, the child will come back asking, why is it wrong? Well, because it is not right, you say. Again, the child argues, why is it not right? Everyone else does it, and those who like it, money. I do not get it because I do not tell a lie. But if I tell a lie, I will get it. Why should I not tell a lie then? A father who is little more intelligent will say, you see, my child, you will be detected. Now the whole question becomes, is it all right to tell a lie if I do not get caught? Someone might say, so what, even if I get caught, so what? You will lose your credibility, the person is told. But if the person does not care about his or her credibility or anything else, then where's the problem here? You will not be eligible for a credit card. Maybe your response, to which the person replies, that is why I steal them. That way I get five cards at the same time. This line of argument is of course foolish and should not be pursued. What I should appreciate is this. If there is a universal value and I go against that value, I must lose something. But my focus is on the gain that results from such an action. Perhaps I gain money, which makes a difference to me because I see the value of it. But what do I lose? Since I do not care for credibility, I do not see that I lose anything. Compromise and moral order. If you can see the immensity of the laws with reference to compromises made to gain such things as money, power, and so on, you are mature. You will not go for the bargain because you see it as a bad bargain. You should see that what you lose is more than what you gain, which has nothing to do with the moral majority. If there is a universal structure, and there is, then what you lose must definitely be much more than what you gain. Therefore, the education needed for maturity is to know what you lose. Suppose I say, you will go to hell, and you do not accept the idea of hell, then that is the end of it. You will simply say, you go to your hell, if there is one. I am not going because I do not accept a hell. How do I know there is a hell other than where I am now? Hell is simply a belief. Suppose if it is wrong? The threat of hell is certainly not a very convincing argument for telling the truth. Perhaps I do not believe in hell or do not care if there is a hell. If there is a hell, I will tackle it when I get there. It is not my problem right now. All that I want to do is get out of the hot water I am in right now. I will deal with the heat in hell later. It is a different thing. I am in hot water right here and now, and $5,000 will make a difference. However, if the person knows that he will be the loser by gaining this $5,000, he may not compromise for the sake of that money. If I were to ask him, why do you want this $5,000? He would say, because I can then buy certain things. I then ask, why do you want those things? He replies, so that I can be happier, more secure. But if I were to show him that in the process of getting this $5,000, he becomes incapable of being happy and hence bargain is a bad one, then he will not compromise. Now he understands the price he may have to pay for the compromise. This is how one understands the value of a value. No one wants money for the money's sake. If that were the case, a cashier's job would be good enough because by feeling money, he or she would be happy. You want money for your sake so that you can be happy. Money is very interesting. Without it, certain things cannot happen, but there is a limit to what money can offer. It can buy a book, but it can never make you read unless the author offers you $1,000 to read it. Then of course you will read it overnight. But even then the money cannot make you understand what the book says. For that, you require something else, something other than money. Money can buy music, but it can never make you understand music. You can hire the best musician to sing for you, but the money you pay to the musician cannot stop you from falling asleep during the performance unless again you are offered money to stay awake. So money can provide situations. That is all it can do. And money indeed does that, which nothing else can. A point to be remembered. But then, the enjoyment is for the person. You are the one who is to enjoy the music. If you lose the enjoyer in the process of acquiring the money that will provide the opportunities for you to enjoy, then it is a bad bargain. Therefore, the whole education or inner maturity of a human being is not in knowing what is right and wrong, which one knows, but in knowing what one loses when one does the wrong thing. One needs to notice, what will I lose? How much will I lose? If I know this very well, it is not possible for me to go for the bargain. This is what is to be understood here. When you tell a lie, you are speaking and therefore you are a doer, a performer, an actor. You are doing the action of speaking, and as an actor, when you tell a lie, you are saying something that is not true to what you think. Therefore, the thinker is one and the actor is quite another. You know one thing, and by the time it comes out of your mouth, it is entirely different, because what you say and what you think are not the same. It means there is already a split in you. As a speaker, a doer, who is telling a lie, you behave in such a way that you create a split in yourself.